right. Yes. Lay it down. Come as you are. How many of you watched the Top Gun Maverick after we talked about it last week? Anybody? Okay. It's not bad, is it? Don't watch it for you right before you go to bed. You won't be able to. It's an adrenaline rusher. It sure is. But I like that I was telling you last week, you know, time to let it go. You know, when Ice put that on his little computer. If you haven't followed those two movies, Val Kilmer played the role of Iceman in the first one. Pilots have all these call signs and everything. But Val Kilmer in real life is a very sick man, and he has the throat, and I think they've had to remove some of his larynx. And it's real sad. And I was reading an article, and he insisted on being, he said, they're not going to do another Top Gun without me. And they let him have a role, but he can't speak very much. But so that's why he talked to Tom Cruise, Maverick, on the computer. But if you see that movie, and know that the part that Val Kilmer plays in there, he's playing it for real as far as his illness. And but he insisted on being in it. They're not going to have one without me. And I thought, that's really neat. And he had to push himself to be on the set for just that little bit. And I was real proud of him. I thought, he just said, I just can't let this happen. I was a part of this whole thing. And so they made him an admiral. And I thought, they paid tribute to him. But he's really suffering in his personal life. So what you see there is that's not any performance. He's a man that just brought his pain on the screen and let you see it in his role. I thought that was brave, very brave of him to do that. I honor that in people. Friends, if there's anything we've got to learn to do, is quit faking it. We don't want to be whining and crying. People get tired of that. If you're a whiner, quit it. I don't know what else to say. I don't have a whole message built around that. If you stop whining, let me give all married couples a piece of advice, and offer all that want to be good friends. Tell your story once and quit repeating it. Seriously. You know, it's fine. If someone asks questions, or you can, you know, emphasize this or that as things go along. But quit telling your story over and over and over. You're going to wear them out, and they're not going to like you like they used to. And it's really true. You know, it's fine to tell your story and then emphasize a point or two and bring up this point or that point. That's good. But I have to caution couples. I say, you know, how long have you been going on about this particular episode in your life? Well, ever since we've been married. How long have you been married? 20 years. And it's like, I think you've worn that story out, you know. So anyway, does that have anything to do with the message today? Not really, but I just wanted to share that. It's just a free piece of counseling advice for all the married folks. And do the Marine pilots, chopper pilots, is there call signs for all the chopper pilots too, I guess? Okay, gunship pilot back there. And so it's really neat. I really respect that. I do. I can't get over it. We got a gunship pilot in the place, you know. I think that's the coolest thing. I thought so, but, you know, we didn't have call signs, you know. Poor old airborne guys, you know, we're just grunts. You know, I used to tell them all, it's really heroic and everything. It's really something to jump out of airplanes and wear berets and do all that kind of stuff. But once you hit the ground, you're a grunt. You don't have to. Somebody was asking me here a few days ago, they said, well, what was it that was so special about that? I said, one, the elite training, it's elite status, and all the other special ops things you get into. But I said, one of the neat things about it is you don't have to walk into combat, you jump into it. You know, if you're going to get shot at, why walk 10 or 15 miles to do that? If you're going to get shot at, just jump right into the bullets. I mean, no use walking into it and having to suffer all that. Just jump in it. That's my philosophy of life. Don't wade into something. Just jump in it. you're going to do it, jump in, you know. Don't do anything halfway. Anyway, let's talk about living God's best for you. And actually, what I was just sharing with you is applies to what we're talking about. Too many Christians don't jump in. You know, and they're not committed. They just, you know, they just kind of want to walk in to Christianity, ease into it. And you can't do that. Somewhere there's going to have to come a day when you just put on that parachute and jump out the door. Christianity's like, you're going to have to strap on Jesus Christ and put him in your heart and go for it. And quit messing around with it, because you don't know when the day might come. You just don't know. And I'm getting at a place now in life, and having faced some, you know, the real proposition there, and I was facing a reality that second time around, that emergency surgery, as y'all all know, it was nip and tuck, real close. And so I talk more freely about death, and I don't mind saying to people, and I really will, you know, if I'm led to, and I don't mind saying to them, do you want to die doing what you're doing right now? Is that the way you want to die? Because you're going to die. And you don't know how it might happen. So do you want to die smoking what you're smoking, taking what you're taking? Is that how you want to go to meet God, with that hanging out of your lips? Or you want to, and don't think I'm beating on if you smoke a cigar or cigarette. I'm not. I'm simply saying, I'm going to stuff deeper than that. You know, do you want to walk before the Lord and have that bourbon bottle in your hand and say, what's happening, Jesus? And we don't take it serious, but really, do you think about what we're doing and say, is this how I want to die? What if my life goes right now? How do I want to go? And what kind of legacy do I want to leave with me? And it's like, you want to die just on the periphery of Christ because you know what's going to happen to you? You're not going to heaven, and there's no other alternative. So get committed. You get committed. And you have to be, and this is not a meandering here to get into a message. What we're about to talk about today, you're going to have to be committed. And the commitment starts with some things that we shared in the last message. And if you weren't here for that, that's okay. We're not going to hold it against you, because I'll read it real quick, just skipping through it. So you'll know, last week we talked about some things you're going to have to get rid of and or start working, let God work on in your life. And he said, you know, you've got to put your sights on God and his character, you know, those things above, and the character of the Lord and his nature and his purpose. You don't just look up into heaven and say, wonder what's there. No, when he says keep your eyes on things above, we talked about that. You focus on the Lord and his nature, his purpose in Christ and who he is. And then he said, so with that, he said, you put to death some things. This is what we talked about last week, so you don't feel left out. He said, these earthly things that lurks within you don't have anything to do with it. And that's sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. He said, don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. He said, if you're greedy, whatever you're greedy over, that's what you worship. That's what he's saying. He said, get rid of that junk. God said, I'm the only God. I'll have no other gods before me. You're not going to be able to worship other things. And he said, so those things, he said, he said, he's so serious about it, he said, kill it. Put it to death. Don't feed it. Look, you know, I thought about this after the message, and I thought, you know, you didn't say this. I usually say it when I'm trying to work with a younger crowd of some kind, but I'll say it here too. You know, people say, you know, I have thoughts with these sexual thoughts all the time. I say, well, why do you keep watching pornography? You kill it. And of course, we get into the addictions, and you're addicted to it and all that. But, you know, if you're having trouble controlling your thoughts, then why don't you kill the source of your thoughts? Why are you putting stuff in your head that's going to try to produce fruit in your life? Bad fruit, rotten fruit. And you think about it, and you say, that's the truth, isn't it? If you're going to try to stop something, you know, when those commercials come on and show all that wonderful stuff to eat, if you have a problem eating, overeating, just change the channel. I wish they'd make the drug companies take all the stuff off the, you know, take this medicine, take this medicine. Isn't it incredible? Of course, they'll tell you about 5 seconds about how good the medicine is and spend the next 30 seconds telling you how it's going to kill you. You notice that? Oh, this can cause breathing problems and brain tissue to dissolve and your joints will fall out of place. And it's like, I don't know if I need that. Let me pray about that. You know, I might not want to take that. There are some things that you got to put to death and you need to kill it at the source. If it's greed, why are you so greedy? What is it in your life? What caused that? Why are you desiring so many material things or things other people have? And he said, don't be an idolater. And he said, now get rid of anger and rage. And I didn't look over there this time at anybody. Anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. And we had some fun with that dirty language last week. As I was just asking, you know, if anybody used it in here. And we know, it's like, what a ridiculous question to ask. Because we know nobody in this church would use any dirty language. So why'd you even ask us if we did that? And so then he said, don't lie to each other because you've stripped all this stuff off. So he's saying, okay, there's a progression here. He said, you can't take on, listen to me, you can't take on the good things of God, the holy things of God, until you get rid of the bad and the unholy. Because so many people, their hearts and their minds are so full of bad, they don't have room for the good. You're going to have to be emptied out to give the Holy Spirit something to fill. Everybody follow me? And we say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if we could hear, if we just listen, and so many times he's saying to so many people, give me something to fill. I want to fill you as a clean vessel, but I really don't want to live in a dirty one. So take some of that filth out of there. Get some of that garbage out. Let's do some emptying out. And that's what the first part of chapter 3 of Colossians is all about, is how to clean out your vessel, your heart, your mind, your body, so God can put good, righteous, holy things in there. He doesn't want to live with trash. So he says, here's what I want to do for you. Here's the character of God, of Christ and God, that I want you to do, to have, but you've got to get rid of the junk. So let's talk about the, you know, we know we got to get rid of it and start cutting it off at the source and don't fill our hearts and minds so much with it. By the way, and I'm, you know, just, I don't want to ride this horse anywhere, just for a little ways. Just get on him and get off. Stop watching so much news. Amen. It's not news. You know, it's propaganda. I was thinking, and I heard a guy mention this, and I thought about it, and it's like, Tony, in your lifetime, can you name one newscaster who just spoke what they saw? And I can. One. And his name was who? Walter Cronkite. He would give you a report, and you can decide yourself what you thought about it. I've never seen a man that stayed so on track. He'd just tell you, this is what's happening. And I wish I could do it. And the voice, this is Walter Cronkite. and he'd bring that, but he didn't slant it. He didn't put any twist. He didn't have some hidden agenda like our news people do today. They're not news people, they're propaganda agents. That man, and God bless him, he's gone now, but you know, he would just say, here's what's happening. And that's it. And you had to decide what you thought about it. That's news. That's news. You saw it. I remember I never saw him real emotional or anything, except when the man took the first step on the moon and he was just overwhelmed by that. Did anybody remember that? And he couldn't hardly speak for a moment. He had those little tears in his eyes. And I was just a kid and I just, you know, it's like Walter is emotional. And he broke for a minute. But still, so don't watch so much. And listen. Sometimes you can get an overdose of the other side too. Is everybody with me? Most of our news agencies are leaning too far. They're gone left. Way out on the left side. But then if you watch the right side ones, sometimes they aggravate me because it's like, don't go so far to the right. Just tell me what happened. I was given, I started to say prescription, a subscription to that epic news? Well, they have an opinion column and they tell you this is our opinion. But they also have the news reporting and they just tell you what, who they interviewed, what they saw, and it's like the Walter Cronkite of print, and then it lets you decide what you think about it. And they interview everybody. They've been trying to interview Fauci, you know, but he won't talk to them. He really won't, because they're asking some hard questions about the vaccines that when they first came out, and, you know, ivermectin and all that. And as everybody knows, I have no shame. And I even say it on the air. I know that there's a lot of people who had a problem. Ivermectin works. The doctor wouldn't give me anything when I had the COVID when it first came out, so I called the vet. You know, everybody remember that? And if you don't, I call them a veterinarian. That's what, you know, if your doctor won't help you, call the vet. And I said, what are you guys taking for this? Because, you know, you've been treating cattle and COVID. I mean, that I grew up with that. COVID's not new, but it's new when it's enhanced in a lab. Okay? And I know that I got in trouble for this when I was talking about it way back long ago. But anyway, the stuff works. And by the way, the United States is sending ivermectin to other third world countries, and it's just about eradicated all of COVID, ivermectin. And so I'm not here to sell that to you, but if you really get in trouble with COVID and your doctor is one of those kind that won't help you and wants to wait for you to go to the hospital and die, just get a hold of your vet or go to the feed store and get get the ivermectin, not for horses, but for cattle. Anyway, so it's like, are you a doctor? No, I did it for myself. I'm not going to tell you to go do it, you know, but I know a ton of people that have, and it just knocked it. And I've got a kid there that had COVID, and I met her here at Popo's and gave her one of my precious bottles of the anointing, ivermectin. It knocked it out, what, 2 days? Yeah. See? Just clobbered it. And now I'm reading in the Epic News, and they're interviewing all these people, and I forget the name, but anyway, that deal with vaccines and all that, and they're saying they hid all this truth about it. Said the truth is it's one of the safest medicines on the face of the earth. How about that? So you say, so are you preaching for ivermectin or the message here? No, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, don't get caught up, and even in the medical profession, their little heads have been warped by propaganda. You know, I'm not saying your doctor is, but the one that saw me, you need help. Anyway, okay, so let's get into this. Don't go too far to the left or the right with your news. And I was talking about the Epic News. I'm not trying to sell you anything with that either. But so far, that has been the most open and reporting. And they're out of Houston, of all places. No, but and they're young. We talk about the, you know, how millennials are pretty tough to deal with and all that. There's a bunch of them on that staff, and they're the most straightforward, straight shooting bunch I've ever seen write a piece, you know. But they'll give you their opinion if you want the opinion column, but you have to pick that out. Otherwise, here's who we talked to, here's what they said, and here it is in print. I like that. It keeps me on track. By the way, that's what I'm trying to lead to with it. This is what God's doing, the same thing. God is not doing anything but saying, here's the news. Here's the good news. Here's my character. And if you're going to be a Christian, here's what my character looks like. That's it. And you've got to learn how that's going to look in your life. Because it might look a little different than the way I look. I look with it. You look with it. You look with it. Somebody over here. You know. How does this, so let's talk about these things for a minute. And he says, let me just go ahead and read all this. In this new life, this is Colossians 3, starting with verse 11. He said, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're, this is New Living Translation, in case it's reading a little different from what I had last week. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, or if you're uncivilized. And I don't think we have any barbarians or uncivilized people around here, do we? So, does anybody ever act barbaric or uncivilized around here? No, of course not. He said, there's, you know, if you're slave or free, whatever you are, he said, Christ is all that matters and he lives in all of us. And he said, so this is what he said, I want you to launch with this. Christ is what matters. And he said, quit falling back. In other words, quit falling back on what you are, who you think you are, what your nationality is, what somebody told you about yourself. And that's why he said it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, Gentile, or you're any of these things. He said none of that matters. And when are we going to wake up in Christianity and realize that a lot of the stuff we've been caught up in throughout our church lives doesn't matter? What matters is Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. That's what matters. And that's what he's saying right here. This isn't for me. That's right on this word. He said, whether you're any of these things, he said, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. All of who? Everyone who's accepted him as their Savior and Lord, repented their sins, and asked Jesus to come into their heart. And he said, since Christ chose you, he chose you, by the way, to be his holy people. It's living, you know, he wants you to live his best for you. He chose you to be his holy people that he loves. What does he say here? You must. He said, this is not an option. If you're chosen of God and you've asked Jesus in your heart, he said, this is not optional stuff. This is what God says makes a Christian, because it's what makes God. And we don't think of it. And it's like these are things we can kind of, we sort of mess around with these things and say, you know, yeah, these are good standards. And it's okay, you know, tenderhearted mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness. These aren't optional things. These aren't things that you can pick and choose. He says, I'm telling you, he said, God says you must clothe yourselves with one, tenderhearted mercy. No choice. I know you want to be a hard case, but God says you've got to clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy. And then secondly, he says, there's going to have to be kindness that's in your heart, and humility, and gentleness, and patience. And it's like, do we need to hear any more? This is enough to overwhelm us already. He doesn't stop. I mean, when he gets rolling here, and he said, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. I'm going to come back to this. You can bet we're going to come back to this. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And he said, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to what? Live in peace and always, always be thankful. And he said, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And get this, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You said, that's a big dose. He's a big God. And you don't realize how big a spiritual giant that God has created you to be. You see, we keep judging ourselves from our flesh. Have you ever tried or asked God to let you see yourself from his perspective, how much of a giant in the spirit that you really are? You're spiritual giants. Listen to this. We don't get it. You're not going to ever really die. You're immortal. You're immortal. Let it sink in. This body will only be exchanged for another body. You're immortal. You're just not going, they're not going to get rid of you. It's just that all the junk that's in your life now will be gone, and there'll be purity and holiness. And it says we're going to have a body like his. And we all go around and we talk about, yeah, here they come. You know, I used to make remarks, and I've quit doing it now that I'm older, okay? Yeah, I'd have to stop. You know, we still hate to do it, don't we? Don't you hate to stop for funeral procession? Be honest. You just, it's like, how long is this going to take? How many friends did that guy have? And I used to say, yep, he finally got his parade. And it's like, I don't say that anymore. Because, you know, I thought my humor is not as funny to me as it used to be. But then at the same time, God is saying, yeah, and if he's one of my children, he's not even there. He is totally at ease. He has a new body. And he's not floating on a cloud, by the way. I wish, you know, that representation of heaven, here we are, and it makes you not want to go, okay? Because I mean, be honest, I thought how boring it would be to sit on a cloud with a little harp all day. You know, half-naked little angel, kicking your little feet. And I thought, you know, that'd be okay for a while, but over time, that's going to get kind of old. You know? And then my mind goes places. It's like, then it's got to rain. So if it rains, that cloud might dissolve, and I'm just a little naked angel with no cloud to sit on until I find another. Anyway, it's like, Tony, you know, your imagination. But anyway, but that's kind of the portrayal, right? You know, it talks about heaven. It has a huge city. And it's got a river of life, and the tree of life is there, and this river flows through it, and the gates are made all these jewels and emeralds, and there's gold. And it's nothing like the movies and the pictures have said. I just wish it could go into more detail, because that's all we know. But he says there's kingdoms, and get this, he says, and people, you, some of you right here are going to be appointed over kingdoms. And see, nobody emphasizes that. You read the scripture carefully, and it says you're going to be over kingdoms. You mean, so it's way beyond just playing a little harp on that. Because really, I'm telling you, it's like I used to think, and I'd just be bored to death. You know, and I've wondered, are there, you know, I mean it, you know, how far does that river go in heaven? You know, are there deer, elk, ducks, geese? I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, or, you know, maybe they're golden geese. I don't know what they are. But I know this. I don't have a mansion, and I probably never will on earth. But Jesus says, I have a mansion there. You see, where are you going with this? It's worth it for me to really open my heart and to receive these gifts that God's offering and let him change me into the kind of man he wants me to be so that I can experience the real heaven, and it's not sitting on a little cloud with a harp. I really want to be a man of God, and I'm saying why can't this be your goal? To be a man or a woman of God, that God's going to meet you there and say, job well done, my good and faithful servant, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, and right down here on Heaven Street, number 305, is your mansion. Go on in there and move in. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't know about 305, but Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you this stuff. And we don't hear it. It just goes by us. Now he honors you so much for believing in him that he has all this prepared, and he said, but until your journey ends up here, I want you to represent me down there on this earth. And you can't do it if you have a bunch of junk in your heart, so get rid of it. Kill a bunch of it. Quit feeding it. After all this stuff I've been through, you know, if somebody comes and says that they're going to have, you know, one of those bypass surgeries down there, you know, they're going to do it, you know. Listen, don't tell me you're going to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't need to stop up your stomach and cut half of it out. You need to stop up your mouth. Put a plug in it, honey, and you won't be gaining that weight. You say, well, that's ugly, Tony. I know, the older you get, the uglier sometimes you can be, but you just get blunt, don't you? You know, and it's like, because I tell you what, after they took all that out, I would tell anybody, if you're thinking of getting one of those, you know, gastric bypass, think again. It's not funny. And the risk that you run is incredible, because the surgeon told me, he said, if anybody asked what I did to you, he said, just tell them it was pretty close to a gastric bypass thing. I said, really? He said, well, I took nearly half your stomach out. I took a whole bunch of your colon out. Took your gallbladder out just because it was there. Army surgeon humor. You know, I said, was there anything wrong with it? He said, no, I just reached over and got it while I was in there. Thanks, Doc. You know, it's like, I'm glad there wasn't anything else close, you know. But then he told me, he said it could have gone bad, and, you know. But listen, and then 2 months later, that surgery built up so much scar tissue that I had that blockage and collapse of the intestine. And so I'd say to anybody, before you volunteer for a voluntary thing, just so you can lose weight, I'm just saying this, friends, the risk you're running is not worth it. Stop and get some discipline on the other side. And that's what this takes. I'm not beating on somebody for doing anything. This is not a get on your soapbox day, Tony, and beat everybody up. No. I'm saying, look at the source of your troubles and cut off the source. If you're having a problem with some of these things that you're supposed to put to death, say, where's the source of it? Where's that coming from? Where'd that get in my head in the first place? And why? How am I feeding it? Am I reading about it? Am I watching it? Am I listening to other people talk about it? And he says, okay, so let's move on. And I can't keep here all day, and you don't want to be. So he says, I want you to clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. I don't have to define all these. He just says, I want you to put on, you know what this is? He said, I want you to put on a new heart. You got rid of the old self. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, or things become new. And he said, I want you to put on a new heart and start thinking new. And he said, that new heart has a heart of compassion. It's tender-hearted mercy is what it is. It feels. It has compassion for others. It shows kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Does anybody here have a patience problem? You ever burn anything because you turn the heat up too much because you just don't want to wait on it to cook? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I have too. You know. If you want to make good scrambled eggs, listen, if you want to stir them all up in there and put a little bit of milk, I put whole milk in there and it fluffs them. And then I like them scrambled in butter. Okay? The doc got me on that. He said, I want you to eat lots of butter. Remember all that? And so, but I've learned to really like them, you know, and put them in that butter and you stir them up and scramble. But if you cook them on too high heat, those eggs are going to get hard no matter what you do. So you got to cook them slow. But doggone it, you get tired of waiting on them. Because that smell of that butter and those eggs is coming up in, and you probably already had a little bit of bacon already, and it's in the house, and some coffee over there, and all those wonderful morning smells, and then the egg smell cooking, and it's like, turn the heat up, let's get on with this thing. And then by the time you get to them, the browns of them, the bottoms of the scrambled eggs are all brown. You can just bounce them off the wall. So you got to take your time. And listen, one of the works the Holy Spirit is performing in our lives and we don't like it, that's why, listen to me, that's why He makes you wait for answers to prayer lots of times. He is not trying to withhold the blessing. He's trying to teach you His character, and part of it is patience. So if you're asking God, why has this not been answered? He's probably saying to you, why are you not allowing me to put my character in your life? He's not withholding answers to prayer, withholding blessings because He's ticked off at you. God's trying to make you into the immortal, Spirit-filled believer He put you here to be. And so He says, I want you to have a heart of compassion, tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility. You don't have to raise your hand. I just ask these questions so we can be honest with ourselves. But pride, you ever had a pride problem, really? Has anybody ever struggled with that? You know, you just, your pride gets, have you ever gotten in an argument with somebody, it was nothing but pride? Guys do this a lot, you know, I don't know if you ladies argue or something, but guys will get in the most stupid arguments with each other. Whose fishing rod is the best? You know, Is an ambassador reel better than this other, you know, reel and you know, Shimano, whatever? And it's like, seriously, guys? Well, mine casts longer than yours does. Mine holds more line. And it's like, really? And I've watched guys in the hunting field get in an argument over which scope, rifle scope to put on, which one was the best. And don't ask any guy, which is the best caliber to use for whatever. And guys will get into a knockdown dragout. And don't even talk about their trucks. It's all ego. Because God is standing there, seriously, God in His Spirit is saying, who cares? In the end, here's what's going to happen. So let me remind you. In the end, every fishing rod, every fishing pole, or ladies, whatever it is that's important to you. I'm sorry I'm not into the lady thing, but whether it's the purse or the bags or the handbags or whatever it is, all the trucks. You know, every truck you drive that you're so proud of today is going to eventually get squished in a junkyard. After all your bragging and all your fights and arguments, that's where it's going to end up, most likely. It's just going to be a crushed piece of metal, and nobody's going to care what you thought of it, and you won't either. Think about it. All these material things that we've had all these arguments and fights about, you know, somebody challenged me on which is the best mixer. I have a mixer in my home. Once in a while, I like to make some cookies or something. You say, you do, Tony? That doesn't mean they taste good, but I like to make them. And I have a mixer. But somebody will ask, oh, you like this mixer? And it's like, we're not going to argue over this, are we? Which mixer? I'm sure you have the super prima donna, bubbity bump bump, you know, mixer. I don't care. You know what my feeling is? This thing beats me trying to do it with my hand. That's all I care about. Friends, let your pride go and let God put him in. Don't you know that's why some embarrassing things happen to you? Have you ever opened your mouth and it doesn't mean necessarily a cuss word or something, but something came out. As soon as it came out, you thought, that was really stupid. That was hurtful. They're looking at me like I'm a moron with what I just... Everybody's done that, right? You know what God allowed that for? To teach humility. You can't do this job I'm doing as many years as I've done it and not have embarrassing things. I mean, it's just stuff that's unbelievable has happened. Shoestrings have popped. Pants have ripped. When I used to... What's that? Zippers messed up, yes. When I used to baptize, you know, the big church baptistry, where everybody looks and the lights come on and make it look so holy back there. You know, a scene of the Jordan River, the city water running there, but the scene to use, Jordan. But I used to wear those hip waders. I had a person that was just struggling with me in the water. Y'all might remember this. It was over at the church in San Antonio. And they pulled me down, and the water went in my waders. You know, I had the waders up here. Well, I had my suit. I had to wear a suit in those days. And the water filled my chest waders. And I couldn't pull up. And I'm down. I'm trying to keep my head above the water. Well, that person, I'm pushing them down because I'm trying to put my head up. They're drowning. They started thrashing around, but my waders had so much water, you know, and I finally had to let go of them, push up on my knees, and all that water ran down, filled them clear. And it was like, this is a disaster. And I expected when I looked back down, see them floating face down, and you know, but they weren't. We got it all and recovered. Y'all might remember, that was horrible. I couldn't get out of the baptistry because my waders were too full. So I had to sit down on the steps, and some guys had to pull the waders off of me so I could get out. And then I had to go up there and finish the message with all my pants dripping. It looked like I'd had a bad accident in the bathroom. That stuff happens. Embarrassing things. And I haven't done it here that I know of. Maybe y'all were just nice and didn't tell me. But there's places you get all favored up in the message and just really going. And something will come out and you're going. I don't think I've ever said a cuss word. But I said some things and thought. Yeah, I thought, oh God, I can't believe that came. I can't get it back now. And you'll see some people back there. Whoa. I didn't know Pastor could say that. I meant to say crud in the message one time. I said crap. I said, hey, the guy just beat the out of the guy. And there were some ladies in the back. And they were. I thought, wait till the next deacon's meeting on that one. You're cussing in the platform. And I did. That's exactly what they said. Oh, and I used the word asinine. I didn't know that was a bad word. But I had a meeting over that, and I was told, don't you be saying nasty words in the pulpit ever again. So just you know, don't say asinine. I wanted to go back to that church, if nothing else, just to walk back up there and stand up and go S9, 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 and walk out. But then God is saying, what did I just tell you about my character? Is that my character? Don't you want to do those kind of things to people? And he's saying, that's what I want you to get rid of. It's one thing to think it, but I want it to stop there before it produces any bad fruit. So listen to me. And I've kind of labored too much on the first point, so I need to wrap it up. But listen to this. The new heart. Let me tell you about the new heart. When you have the new heart that Christ gives you, his holy heart, his nature, his character, that heart refuses to be corrupted, and it refuses to be controlled by others. You mark this down. The new heart of Christ refuses corruption, and it refuses to be controlled by others, and it refuses to be contaminated with garbage. Now, I'm going to cut this short because I realize I pushed the time deal. But I want to do a wrap-up, and I'll finish this message next week, if you allow me, and there's some more good stuff here. But being grouchy, grumpy, judgmental, condemning, do you know what it really is? In God's eyes, that's garbage. That's refuse. For you to be grouchy, grumpy, judgmental, controlling is just garbage. And so let me hit you with this to give you something to think about as you go from here. Your heart is meant to be, and God gave me that. He said, listen to me. And he was speaking to me about my own heart, so I'm sharing it with you. It's like your heart is meant to be God's flower garden, not God's garbage can. It hit me really hard. And I sit there and I kind of mess with it in the notes, and it's like, put it down. Because your heart's meant to be my flower garden, not my garbage can. And friends, get that garbage out and you get the flowers in so that you are a pleasant aroma to God and everybody around you. So you get that. Clothe yourselves with that tender-hearted mercy and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, making allowance for each other's faults. We're going to pick this up and we'll pursue this, but I can see where God was headed with this. Get the garbage out. This is a place to be his garden. Let God plant in you his great character, love. We're going to get to that next time. But that tender-hearted, compassionate. And I've had to think about it. And it's like, you know, son, with all you've been through, and I admit this, and I know, I see it in my life, it's like you've gotten just a little bit hardened. And it does. It kind of, you go through all this stuff and pain and stuff, and I'm looking at some more stuff now, and it's like you start getting kind of hardened. And I even found myself being just a little bit hardened towards God. And I want to share this with you as we close. Because this can happen. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. I started questioning the Lord, saying, why are you letting this happen? What did I do that you have to hit me with this or allow this to happen? I've mentioned this before, but it's a major struggle at times. Of after all these years and all the health and all the stuff, What? Why? And then this latest report, now I've gone through all this, and they're saying, we may have to do something with your shoulder. And it's like, all of a sudden, my whole life, nothing. And then you just start saying, why are you letting this happen? And then you can hear just distantly in the spirit this. Is your body my temple? Yeah. And why are you complaining? I used you to touch people's lives in that hospital. They were all coming in and visiting with you. When they weren't sticking you with something, they were in there talking to you. You met everybody. And it's like, is it worth it to you to do that? And my honest response is initially, not really. But God, in His power, you know, in His gentleness, He's tender-hearted and compassionate. His response to that, it's worth it to me. And you've given yourself to me, or you say you have. This little test is let you know, is your body my temple, or do you still claim it? And can I not do what I want with my own temple? And you know, through my struggles, I've realized without knowing it that God has been taking out a lot of that garbage. Even though it's kind of toughened me in some ways, He has given me a deeper understanding of hurting people. Much deeper. I can even sense now when I'm around someone who's not saying a word that they're in pain. Isn't that amazing? It's like He sharpened the inner hearing, the inner sensing through my own pain. So He's working and building to create this new creation. And not only in me, but in you. So go out of here this day and keep reminding yourself, my heart is meant to be God's flower garden, not His garbage can. And I want to grow flowers. And so to do that, water them with prayer and fertilize them with faith. Father, thank you for your word this day and the power of it. You're here. You're involved. You're almighty. You're wonderful. You're great. God, let us flower. Let us flower and be a sweet, pleasing aroma to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.